This is 89.1 KMUW NPR for Wichita. Sunday marks the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. More than 9 million servicemen died in the Great War. KMUW's Tom Schein tells the story of one of them.
It was the war to end all wars. World War I, a massive tableau of death and suffering, ended 100 years ago this Sunday, November 11th. More than 9 million servicemen died in the Great War, including some 100,000 Americans. Countries from five continents sent troops to the conflict. It was war on an epic scale that the world had never witnessed. And yet, like all conflicts, it was also a war with small, personal stories. Millions of them, of fathers and husbands, sons and brothers, sent to Europe never to return. Like Harry Knowles, a 40-year-old stableman from Peterborough, Ontario. He joined the Canadian Field Artillery as a driver in 1915. 2 years later, he would die in a field hospital in France of gas wounds suffered during the Battle of Passchendaele. Harry was my great-grandfather.
It's a long way to Tipperary.
He was born in Chelsea near London. He immigrated to Canada shortly after my grandfather Edward was born in 1911. Harry tried to join the army in 1913, but was rejected, perhaps because he was 5'1" and weighed 125 pounds. He tried again in August 1915. By this time, staggering losses were beginning to mount in Europe after the first year of the war. Harry was accepted for service at the age of 40.
They were taking men by late 15.
That's Tim Cook, a historian with the Canadian War Museum and the author of several books on World War I.
And there's a surge after the Second Battle of Ypres. That's the gas attack where the Germans unleashed gas in April of 1915. And that's when Canadians really wake up to the war. We see a surge at that point, so he'd be a part of that.
Although considered the first modern war, World War I relied heavily on horses to pull wagons, artillery pieces, and to carry supplies. An army couldn't function without them, which Cook says made my great-grandfather, despite his age and size, a valuable recruit.
You need to be able to take care of your horses or you're going to be in serious trouble. And so a trained stableman or horseman, I think, would be in high demand.
Harry arrived in France in January of 1916. He would die less than 2 years later at the Battle of Passchendaele. Even by the cruel standards of World War I, Passchendaele stood out for its senseless slaughter. An offensive by the British to take the village of Passchendaele in July 1917 bogged down in the rain and mud in the Flanders region of Belgium. A renewed attack was ordered, with the Canadians to take the lead. Here's Tim Cook again.
The battlefield was one of the worst in history. The roads were dissolved. There's nothing solid to stand on. Soldiers are sinking into the mud. Wounded men are drowning in the filth. The casualties are horrendous for every battle, and the conditions so monstrous that almost very few of the dead could be carried off the battlefield. The energy had to go towards the wounded.
George Stevens, a Canadian soldier, fought at Passchendaele. He described the battlefield to the CBC in a 1972 documentary.
It's a terrible place, I think, for most of us, the most terrible place we'd ever been in.
The Germans, who had introduced gas earlier in the war, used mustard gas for the first time at Passchendaele. Named for its cloudy, yellowish appearance, it blistered the skin both inside and outside a person's body. It caused the lungs to fill with fluid, and the victim suffocated. On October 31st, just days after the Canadians joined the battle, Harry was wounded during such an attack. He died the next day at No. 5 General Hospital in Rouen, France. He is buried there in the St. Sever Cemetery extension. A week after Harry died, the Canadians captured Passchendaele. More than 400,000 men died on both sides, so the Allies could advance 5 miles. When the war broke out in 1914, Canada was a self-governing dominion of the British Empire. In effect, once Britain declared war on Germany, so did Canada. But the war and the loss of more than 60,000 Canadian men and women stirred a renewed sense of patriotism and national identity. Ann Cook says it caused the country to re-examine its relationship with Britain.
The Great War in Canada is often seen as the War of Independence. It's the war where 620,000 Canadians enlisted from a country of 8 million. It's the war where Canadians, very much seen as colonials before the war, emerge as something different.
13 years after the war ended, Canada took control of its own foreign affairs and became an autonomous, independent country. The great suffering had not been in vain. There will be remembrances and ceremonies around the world on Sunday to commemorate the end of the war. That includes one in Kansas City at the National World War I Museum and Memorial, and in Ottawa at the Canadian War Museum, and in Wichita at Veterans Memorial Park. Though the war might seem long ago, it is fresh to many of us who grew up with those touched by it. Ann Cook says it remains fresh for Canada, a country that came of age during those horrific years.
And I suspect it's something about those Canadians who were lost that continues to haunt us. They resonate in a way, even though they're all gone. And we continue to search, I think, for them. We continue to listen for the whispers, for the traces of their war experience. And we continue to, I think, try to grapple with the meaning of the war, and especially 100 years later, how it continues to have an effect on us.
For KMUW News, I'm Tom Shine.